Have a Bible today, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Many times a teenager, maybe 13-year-old, would say something like, "Don't tell me what to do." And sometimes when they get 23 or 33, they're begging someone to tell them what to do. Amen. And, you know, wisdom is a wonderful thing. And Bob Jones Sr. said, "Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge to successfully meet the emergencies of life." And so God gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge, but we have to know the wisdom to apply that knowledge. Amen. And what better teacher than God? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's just read one verse, verse 9. "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Father, we ask your blessing on the word today. Minister to us, Lord. Open our hearts. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the power of this book. And I pray that it would lighten our path and lead us, God. Teach us, speak to us, in Jesus' name, amen. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," and he did that. He'll answer that prayer. So if you're teachable, God will teach, amen. So if you have faith, God will answer those prayers. It's a blessing to know that. We have his word, and his word is really something that we want to understand. We want to guide our life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We said that earlier. And he orders those steps according to his word. And that's an absolute blessing. But what a teacher, what a subject, what a textbook. And we're going to see some things about the Lord today. We had a Bible Institute back in Sturgis. And I had two other pastors that were teaching with me at one time. And I would give quizzes and tests to the students, the preachers. And I gave a question at the end of one quiz because I wanted extra credit given. And I said, "Answer who your favorite teacher is." And I was expecting not the other two pastors, but me. And then I would have given them extra credit. And when I was grading the course or the test, the answer came back, the Holy Spirit was the greatest teacher. And I couldn't mark that wrong. Amen. They got extra credit. But that's what I hope takes place today. You'll hear my voice. You'll get some of my knowledge, my experience. We'll go to the Word of God. But God needs to speak. God needs to be heard. And into a tender heart, God can do some awesome things. Some things only God can teach you. 1 John 1:27. "You need not that any man teach you." In Ephesians chapter 4, God gives to the church pastors and teachers. We have a responsibility. We are led of the Spirit to preach what God tells us to preach, teach what he tells us to teach. And I know there's a lot of prayers that go up every Sunday for us to do that. But then it comes back to hearing the word of the Lord and making application. That's so important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business." Amen? That's a good thing to study. Amen? Anybody? Amen? And study to be quiet. And so you go Bible principles. You know, slow to speak, quick to hear. There's safety in the multitude of counselors, but in the multitude of words, there's sin. And so you look at all these verses, and you don't want to be a busybody in other men's matters. But you get your wisdom from that, and then we're able to study to be quiet. There's a verse, it's a pretty powerful verse. 2 Timothy 3:7, "Ever learning and never able to come unto the knowledge of the truth." We can memorize scripture, we can know Bible doctrine, but we never come to the fruition of that. It really doesn't settle us in something. It really doesn't move us. And so I want that to take place today. That has been my prayer all week. "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Our Bible is full of counselors. God has used them over the years. It's a blessing. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You can be spoiled. You can hear false teaching, and there are false teachers in the world today. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. You don't have to turn there. Well, you can. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is right to the right of where you're at in your Bibles now. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul gave some advice to a young preacher. Timothy was a great man of God. And Paul told him to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season. And we'll pick that up in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I have some good jokes, don't I? I have some really funny jokes, amen? Some really good stories, amen? And sometimes I'll flavor a message with that. But this is the meat and potatoes, amen? This is what the Bible does. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want their ears tickled. And the Bible goes on and says in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. With all of the false doctrine and false teachers, we need to preach the word. We have the Bible, amen? And that's what is going to set our course. But it says the time will come. In Amos chapter 8, there's a prophecy, and it talks about in verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That is the devil's attack, because the word of God is what helps us. That's how we fight the devil. It's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and they say, where is the promise of his coming? We believe the Lord's coming back. We believe it is soon. The time will come, and the time has come. There are many today that are not able to endure sound doctrine, the truths, the principles, the precepts of the Word of God. There are many today that are not able to find a place to hear the Word of God. Having a missionary, think of that. There are many, many unreached villages. There are many today that believe, cannot believe, because they're willingly ignorant of God's word. But we're not like that. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I touched on this last week. I just want to read a couple of verses here again. God is speaking. And the Bible is such a fantastic book, such a powerful book. It changes lives. The Word of God can change our life today. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them. Teach what? Teach the words. And so we're taught of God, and we're taught through the Scriptures. Teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He said, love the Lord your God. Remember in Matthew 22, somebody asked Jesus what the first or greatest commandment was. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So that's pretty important. You see the prophecy, and you see the answer to prophecy. But our text says that we're taught of God to love one another. Amen? God has to teach that. You ever have your kids and they're fighting, and you say, now you need to get along. And that's head knowledge. Or maybe that's a fear they're going to get spanked or sent to their room or whatever. But when God really works in a heart, there's a desire to do His word. Amen? That's when we learn. That's when we learn grace. We learn mercy. We learn long-suffering. We learn the comfort of God. We learn the will of God. It all comes from the heart, not just the head. We look at circumstances, we look at people, and we say, how is God going to reach that person? God knows. Amen? And he guides and directs us. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Loving God, loving the brethren, loving our neighbors. Here's one. Loving our enemies. Amen? Loving the lost. How can God put that in our hearts? In 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Boy, those are powerful verses. But it goes on and defines charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It's a powerful definition, isn't it? And only God can put that in our hearts. Only He's able to do that. Taught of God, what a marvelous truth. Taught of Almighty God. And then what do we do with what we're taught? I think that's the important part of the message. In Titus chapter 2, speaking of the aged women, I don't know whether we have any aged women here with us today, just a bunch of young ladies, amen? But it says in verse 4 of chapter 2, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. This is not a message on love, but certainly that enters into it. God is love. Not God loves, although He does love, but His whole makeup is love. That is who God is. God is love. So we ought to love one another with a pure heart fervently. I think that's good. John chapter 4, verse 29. We take what God has done for us, and God loved us, amen? And God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So it's an active thing. He loved us. He saved us. We love Him because He first loved us. All of the verses, you're familiar with the verses too. But that love just fills our soul. And when we see someone else that maybe is unlovable, we were unlovable. And God loved us while we were sinners. And that love just fills us. Because the filling of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. There you go again. There's all the verses that have to do with that. And so when God does something for us, God in us, God worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so He wants us to do something with what He's done inside of us. He wants us to love other people the way He has loved us. The woman at the well, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And she went in and, man, the whole village came out. Amen? She had something marvelous in her life. The maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. They couldn't control him. They bound him with chains. He broke the chains. He would cry out. He would run around. He lived in the tombs. And no man could tame him, the Bible says, until Jesus came. Changed his life. Now he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And this is what the Lord said to him. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. What a testimony he had. I've met some people in my life, in my ministry, that I thought, who in the world is going to help this guy? And God did. Amen? We have in John chapter 1, Andrew finds the Lord. Andrew is Simon Peter's brother. And Andrew finds the Lord, and this is what it says. And he first findeth his own brother Simon. This is after finding the Lord. And saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And then he said, come and see. I went and saw, now you come and see. We have the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and how he in Providence met with the preacher, Philip. God sent Philip to him. And he's reading Isaiah, and Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I except some man should guide me? Think of that connection. And so all of the work that was done after that. Let me give you one more. Cornelius God tells Cornelius in Acts chapter 11, send for Peter, who will tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. He's going to tell you how to be saved. If you ever want anybody to the Lord, boy, that's a marvelous thing. Amen. That's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Does anybody here know how to get saved? Do you know how you got saved? Amen. It wasn't osmosis. It wasn't I was always a Christian. It wasn't I was born a Christian. No. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the verses that go with that. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other, none other than the name under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And how did you get saved? And what did that do for you? It absolutely changed your life. It changed your future, your eternity. Amen. But God put something in you when He saved you, because we are born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of God is in you. Amen. In Romans 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we know the Spirit of God is in us because He directs us. He speaks to us. Amen. His Word is alive and we're alive. And what a connection that makes. We love people. We want to help people. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul said to Timothy, these things command and teach. God taught Paul. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy taught others. And you just go right on down the line. Amen. Romans 10:15, the Bible says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Jesus said, as my Father sent me, so even so send I you. We have a missionary here today, but we're all missionaries. Amen. Could be New Guinea, it could be India, it could be across the street. We're all missionaries trying to take the gospel to somebody. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God doesn't want it to stop. God doesn't want the information to come into our mind and into our heart and stop there. This is not just about us. Amen. God has done a wonderful thing. If you're here today and you're saved, He's done a wonderful thing for you. But He's done that for a purpose, for a reason. And that's so we can do that, and He can use us as instruments in winning other people to the Lord. We are taught of God that we may teach each other. In 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in knowledge. It's not just knowledge. We grow in grace. And as we do that, we'll have more grace and mercy on other people. This is a pretty important verse. And as I read this, I just want you to think about it. I don't know how long you've been saved and what you do for the Lord, what your heart is like. That's all personal. That's between you and the Lord. I don't know that. I don't judge anybody. But this is the Word of God. I want you to think about this. Hebrews 5:12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. When we should be teachers. I've been saved a lot of years. I got saved when I was 22 years old, and I'm 29 now, so that's been 7 years ago. That's a long time. But I've been saved a long time. And God has, in His Word and in His Spirit, guided my life as Sarah's, as yours, amen, by His providence, and He's put us in touch with other people that needed Him, maybe not just for salvation, but for comfort, for strength, for whatever reason. The providence of God is important here. And so He's been doing something for us, and we've grown in grace. We've grown in knowledge. You have to put those two together, because just knowledge puffeth up. Just to know a bunch of Bible and not live it is just not what you want to do. You want to make the application. And so we do that. We ought to be teachers. But don't be embarrassed today. Just think about this. If you ought to be teachers, but you first need more teaching, and you've lost the first principles of the Word of God, and your life has kind of strayed from that, don't be embarrassed, so embarrassed that you wouldn't want to start over. There are people I've had in ministry that were in my church for 20 years and not saved. And they got saved. Think of how embarrassing that must have been to their flesh. They looked like good, godly people. They knew the verses. They sang in church. And yet they weren't saved. I think it's important to be saved, amen? Because nothing can happen until you're born again. That's where the life starts. But if you ought to be a teacher and your life ought to be going on for the Lord and you ought to be affecting other people for the glory of God and you're not, come back. Maybe you left your first love, the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation. If you've left your first love, and that's about love. It all comes together when you hear all of these different verses. God loves us, and sometimes we've left that, but we love Him because unto us which believe He is precious. And you're familiar with the verses, but they have to make an effect on our heart so that God can use us. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. There's no growth without the Bible. And so God takes that knowledge and He puts it in our heart. And then He uses us for His glory. Acts chapter 17. Paul reasoned with them out of the scriptures. It's the people of Thessalonica. And he won some people there and they started a church. And it says there in that chapter, he preached Christ and the resurrection. Later on, he writes back to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually worketh in you that believe. They did not receive the word as just the word of men. I know that would be easy to do. Well, what's he talking about? And I'm familiar with that verse. And I don't think it means what that is. Just let God speak to you. Amen? Because God wants to do a work today. There's somebody that needs you. Somebody needs you. They need to be saved. Their life needs to be salvaged. And God has you in a place where you're hearing the Word of God and you're reading the Bible and you believe it, which effectually worketh in you that believe it. If you believe it, put it into practice. Amen? And God will use that because His Word won't return void. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. This is in the time of Jehoshaphat. And it says, and they taught Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. They were teaching the people the word of God. Matthew Henry writes, the public teaching of the word of God forms in all ages the great method of promoting the power of godliness. Thereby the understanding is informed and conscience is awakened and directed. The Bible will do something. To be used of God to teach each other, that's such a blessing. And Psalm 51, David's repenting and asking God for forgiveness for his sin. And he comes down about the middle of that psalm and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Those are all important things, amen? None really have to do with knowledge. But he says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then the next verse says, then shall sinners be converted. Then shall transgressors turn back to God. Then and only then. So what are we looking for? I'm not looking for more Bible knowledge. The longer I'm preaching, the more I know from the Bible, the different doctrines. I know very little about the Word of God. And I've been studying it my whole life. Every time you go through one door and you learn something, there's 10 more doors in there that you could go through and learn something else. It's an amazing book. Amen? But what is God trying to do with our spirit that we can share with somebody? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So important. Psalm 51:13 again. Sinners shall be converted unto thee. No greater joy, John said, than to have your children walk in truth. Paul said, you are my joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jesus said, for the joy set before me, I'll endure the cross. I'll despise the shame. It's all about joy, and love is involved in that because of the love of God. I can teach you, and I can read Psalm 51. That's a good psalm, a real good psalm. But unless God speaks to you, it's just words on a page. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. I'll get into the sermon. Amen? I'm kidding. I'll be done shortly. Matthew 9:13. Jesus said, "Go and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy." Go and learn what that meaneth. You ever read the verses and you just don't get it? And God says, "Search the scriptures." And so then you start searching the scriptures and one verse leads to another. And then the light bulb comes on because the Spirit of God is revealing truth to us. Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The previous verse is, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then this verse, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Boy, we need that. We need rest unto our souls. We need the ministry of the Lord in our life. Hebrews 11:3. "Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Creation, salvation, it's all by faith, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So God wants to do that for us. There's a hymn in our hymn book. It's on page 91. You have turned there. We're not going to sing it. But it says this: "Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light, teach me thy way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Amen. The songs we sing in our hymn book, the reason we sing them, the reason we memorize them, and we sing them as a worship to the Lord, is so that thought will be in our mind. And as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is the ear gate to your mind. This is the eye gate, you know. What we see affects our emotions. It does. And then what we think about, if we put God in the picture, it goes to our heart as he thinketh in his heart. "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Somebody we love, somebody we're trying to reach, the heart is going to lead the mouth to speak words of comfort. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But the Spirit hath revealed them unto us." And today, a lot of verses, amen? And you can go home and think about them. But if they don't change anything, if God has given you something today to use in somebody else's life, even what Sarah said just a moment ago, to pray for her. She's been a faithful missionary. And she held up a Bible with no words in it. She held up a Bible with a lot of words in it. If you support missions and you pray for her, you had a part in that. Amen? Because we're all co-workers, co-laborers. And some people are just called to go to a mission field. Sometimes we just wish like Sarah, "Oh, I wish he'd call me there. I wish he'd send me there." Amen? But God's will be done. Your neighbors are your neighbors. Your family is your family. Your fellow workers are your fellow workers. That's why God planted you there. Your acquaintances. "Oh, I ran into this person. Oh, I remember you, and we talked for a while." The reason God does all of that, he's bringing people together. Amen? And there are people that need you. And God will work in your heart, and God will give you the words to say. We are taught of God to love one another. Amen? If you don't love one another, then you're not taught of God. The instruction stopped right here. It just stopped right here. It didn't go to the heart. Let God work in your life, and it won't be long that he'll give you people that need to be saved. He'll open doors for you. Amen? Just be faithful to him. Let's bow our heads, please. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit say it unto the churches. A lot of words today. I hope you've heard from the Lord. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, this is our crowd. There's no visitors today. We give this invitation every week. It's good to look at, though. It's good to go back, look at your salvation, what that's done for you. It can change your life. It should have changed your life. If after all these years you need the one teach you again, don't be embarrassed. Just let it happen. Just let it happen. Let God work in your life. Maybe he's going to give you a picture of somebody. Face you'll see. I don't know how God has worked today, but I pray that he has worked. Our Father, bless your word, please. There's somebody's eternity that depends on this. God, please, work in all of our hearts for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.